Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Son of Jonah Punished. Translation by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, with the purport. She could not tolerate Ashwatthama's being bound by ropes, and being a devoted lady, she said, "Release him, for he is a Brahmin, our spiritual master." So here we have a nice picture of the ideal Vedic lady, full of good sentiment. this is how we want our women to be. But we'll see here that she's not doing politics, insisting to get her way, some way, you know, getting other women to sign up, and that way, you know, forcing that he should be released or something. No. She's expressing from her heart, according to her custom. But there's higher principles, and therefore the men will decide. Arjuna will consult now with Yudhisthira, Bhima, take direction from Krishna, and they'll decide what to do with this person. But nevertheless, Prabhupada says, nonetheless, in spite of all this, that she desired Ashwatthama to be at once released. And it was all the same, means considering everything, it's all the same, it was a good sentiment. For a good sentiment, the women should have good sentiment. We don't want to make them hard-hearted and without feelings and cruel. No, they should have good sentiment. But still, we don't want to be ruled by those sentiments. We can take them into consideration. Not become hard-hearted ourselves. Consider that there is sentiments to be, understood. Not just that we become cruel. A cruel person doesn't care for sentiments. He just acts without consideration of whether people will suffer or not. So that's not wanted. But on the basis of Shastra, the Shastra is established not by sentiment, but by truth. Truth means that we have to see the long-range good. The sentiment may, immediately we can give this person some solace and feel sorry for him and release him. But then, because he hasn't been punished, he won't be corrected. And he can go on and do that same kind of sinful activity. Therefore, we were hearing on the tape, right, Prabhupada said. That, therefore, the murderer, he should be killed. This is the best thing for him. So the people, many people, women especially, won't understand this. Because they're living on the bodily platform, they don't really believe in the soul, eternal soul. They don't believe in the Shastra. They don't believe that there'll be punishment in the next life and so on. So therefore they act according to their feelings, and their feelings go out to this poor person. He's going to be put to death. No, we don't want that. So both things are required, especially for children. There has to be this unqualified feelings. The mother always loves the son, or the children, daughter as well. That's required. Without having that sentiment there, then the children won't be adjusted properly. They'll become neurotic. They'll become too much in anxiety. Nobody loves me. So the women especially are given this, you can say, encouraged to have this sentiment. But they don't, the men don't themselves become carried away by this sentiment. This is the danger. When you give the women, allow them to have so much sentiment, just like the same story that came in the paper. This lady whose daughter was kidnapped. She was in the town. She saw this man, and he was asking for money, so she gave him $5. And then she felt sorry for him. She said, "Well, if you need some work, why don't you come to my house?" And so he came to the house, did some work, saw the daughter, came back and kidnapped her, took her away, married her, whatever. So this is the sentiment. The woman felt sorry. "Oh, he's a nice man. Take Vada, come to my house." That was a mistake. She shouldn't have done like that. She should be, she should first of all get permission from her husband. She brings a strange man to the house. He was working in the house for 6 hours or something, and he saw this young girl, and he came attached. He came back at night, broke the window, and took her away.
by gunpoint. So this is the misuse of sentiment. She had a good sentiment. She wanted to help this man. The man had some charisma to influence a woman. He influenced the daughter also. After he lived with her for some time, she didn't want to go back to her house and watch television, play with dolls. So he had some power, he had some charisma. But it takes a man of discrimination to see, well, where is this man? Is he sane or insane? You don't bring insane men into your house. Therefore, the men have to be the guides, not women with their sentiment. Therefore, we don't agree with this, even in America now, practically all over the world. Women are given the vote, but we don't agree with that either. Original Constitution and the founding fathers of America, women didn't have a vote. Nor did ordinary sutras have a vote. Only those who were property owners. That's how this country was first formed. Only those who had property, they were considered citizens, and they were given a vote. But then because the majority of people didn't have property, so they actually, well, we want to vote too. And so gradually, the Constitution was changed. And then women agitated so much, and they also got to vote. But you see, the result is, the vote, that they don't know who to choose. They pick somebody like Clinton, because he has sex appeal. And he's charismatic. But he has no principles. So they elected him for president 8 years. They would have elected him again. But he created the disturbance in the world. And he brought disrepute to the White House, having illicit sex right in the office. This is the problem with democracy. Everybody gets a vote, but everybody's not qualified to decide. Of course, they'll criticize, oh, you're elitist. And the answer is, yeah, we do think that there's a hierarchy. There's the Brahmins. They're their vote should count. And then the Kshatriya Vaishya Sutra. So there is a distinction or a division of society, natural division. Just like in our body. We don't allow the leg to vote. No, the head votes. The head knows that it wants to take care of the leg. Because the leg is very important. So the head decides what's best. Whether it needs medicine or needs rest or whatever. This is the way society should be organized. But unfortunately, Kali Yuga is so prominent that they're very difficult to find, first of all, qualified Brahmins. This is the point we're talking about. Qualified Brahmin means that he's neutral. He's not carried by some external circumstance, attraction, repulsion. Otherwise, he can't remain Brahmin. When the senses are so overpowered by objects, and he becomes repulsed and attracted, then he can't give good advice. He can't lead us. So we have to first of all qualify ourselves. We want to lead. We want to become influential in the world so that this Krishna conscious movement can spread, so that Srila Prabhupada's books will be distributed more, and he'll be respected as the acharya. In the modern day, for all of us, then we have to become Brahmins. Then Krishna will use us more and more. And now if he uses us, we'll simply bring disrepute to his devotee society, to Prabhupada society. So it's very important that we qualify ourselves. I was just reading that last night. Do you have Bhagavad Gita here? In the 14th chapter, Krishna's talking about this qualification of the Brahman, how to rise above the modes of material nature. Krishna says, when one properly sees that in all activities, no other performer is at work than the modes of material nature, and he knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, then he attains my spiritual nature. But one can transcend all the activities of the modes of material nature simply by understanding them properly, by learning from the proper souls.
The real spiritual master is Krishna, and he is imparting this spiritual knowledge to Arjuna. Similarly, it is from those who are fully in Krishna consciousness that one has to learn the science of activities in terms of the modes of nature. Otherwise, one's life will be misdirected. By the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, a living entity can know of his spiritual position, his material body, his senses, how he is entrapped, and how he is under the spell of the material modes of nature. He is helpless, being in the grip of these modes, but when he sees his real position, then he can attain to the transcendental platform, having the scope for spiritual life. Actually, the living entity is not the performer of different activities. He is forced to act because he is situated in a particular type of body, conducted by some particular mode of material nature. Unless one has the help of spiritual authority, he cannot understand in what position he is actually situated. With the association of a bona fide spiritual master, he can see his real position, and by such an understanding, he can become fixed in full Krishna consciousness. A man in Krishna consciousness is not...